Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Catherine and I are standing where we were last night, which is outside, next to the practice courts, outside the media room, Catherine, because we've got to monitor when Andy Murray is coming in, because he's just won.
He has just won. I thought he was very impressive indeed. Just spoke to him after the match. He looked pretty exhausted, but he sort of always does. He always looks really drained, and it's so humid. Like, it was sweat just pouring off him. I had to sort of leap back so as not to get coated in Andy Murray's sweat. He was very happy with his performance. You know, all the stuff, aware of how dangerous Russell can be. We know all of that. Was like very effusive about how much he loves playing under the lights here on the Arthur Ashe Stadium. Said it was even noisier with the roof. Obviously, the roof wasn't closed, so goodness knows how noisy it's going to be with the roof closed. But really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the atmosphere. Like, he was beaming when he was hitting those balls into the crowd afterwards.
Yeah, it was something I heard you and Mark Petchy talking about in that video you did on the Telegraph website. You're here for Eurosport with Mark, obviously, about how with Roger Federer not here, there are kind of more night session spaces available. And now Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, they are the show.
And even more importantly, I mean, obviously, night session probably the preference for Murray, but I would be surprised to see him anywhere but Arthur Ashe this fortnight. And that's really important because he does not enjoy Louis Armstrong Court at all. He went out there last year. He's gone out there before as well. He's very open about the fact that he likes that court significantly less. And without Federer here, I would find it surprising if we ever see him outside of Arthur Ashe, so I think that's going to be quite important.
A more Djokovic-like tennis from Andy Murray in terms of the scoreline. There was one little flicker. I was commentating on Five Live alongside Conor Fleming. We just noticed one little flicker towards the end of the second set where he just started to get a bit irritable about missing a couple of shots, and that was about it. Everything else was just streamlined.
Wouldn't have been an Andy Murray match.
It's just human, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, but he would make those little sort of commotions into a big drama, and not anymore.
Yeah, very, very true. I watched his warm-up on Arthur Ashe earlier on in the evening. He had a little hit. In fact, they delayed the night session. I mean, I know it takes them a while to get Venus Williams match finished quite late, and it takes them a while to get the day session crowd in, the night session crowd, no, other way around, you know what I mean. But still, if I think they delayed the start of the night session so that Murray could get his allotted hit in on the Arthur Ashe Stadium. I was watching that, and Jamie Delgado, who still is pretty handy, by the way, I'm going to do a big name drop here. I was standing courtside behind Renee Stubbs, Mark Petchy, and Andre Agassi watching, although embarrassingly, it took me about 10 minutes to realise that it was Andre Agassi.
What's the matter with you?
That I was standing behind. I was in another world. Anyway, I was standing behind them, and they were watching Murray in awe, saying, you know, he looked like he was sharp as a needle, something sharp as something sharp. And then he started hitting with Jamie Delgado, and they were really blown away by how good Jamie Delgado still was. And at the end, they started doing a drill where Delgado was up just shy of the service line, serving bullets from that distance, so less reaction time at Andy Murray. And he was returning as well as I've ever seen anyone return a serve from from the baseline. I mean, it was extraordinary, and I suddenly thought, whoa there, this guy is not to be messed with.
Yeah, and of course, Lucas Rossell has tried to mess with him before, bumped into him in that changeover in Munich, of course, and it was, I had a little exchange with him on Five Live, where we sort of bumped heads a little bit over that situation. But
David created his own aggro.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was quite funny. He sort of leaned in and tried to intimidate me, and I sort of ran. No, I didn't run, but I did kind of just give him a bit back, and I quite enjoyed all that. Anyway, we had Andy Murray and Lucas Rossell following the Williams sisters one after another onto the court. Venus Williams had a real fight on her hand today. My goodness, she was pushed by Kachova. It was impressive stuff from her.
Kozlova.
I'm losing my mind.
It's late, everyone. It's very late when we're recording this. It's been a long day. Yeah, she was really pushed. I have to admit, I didn't see a whole load of that match. I also didn't see a whole load of Serena because I thought it was going to be a longer match and I thought I'd have a chance to sit and watch some of it. And it was over by the time I had an opportunity to do that. On paper, that was really challenging. Makarova first round, you know, beat her in Oz in 2012, but then I spoke to Mary Pierce, who's on the Eurosport team, before the match, and she said, look, Serena's either going to come out and bulldoze her, or it's going to be a really nervy marathon match, which could go either way, and it turned out to be the former.
It did indeed. I saw Nick Kyrgios against Aliash Bedene. I mean, it was just classic Kyrgios. But I mean, he did come out, play the first four games, some of the best tennis I've ever seen, just highlight real stuff. And then suddenly he informed everybody that he'd got a hip problem, that it was getting worse, and he had to go off the court and have it treated. Came back out, still won in straight sets. Anna had the obligatory round with the umpire.
Yeah, he didn't shake his hand after the match. I actually missed specifically what the row was about, but it almost is academic, isn't it? I mean, he would have found something.
You can have an argument in an empty room. There's no question about it.
I spoke to Bedene after the match, and bless him, asked him about all that aggro that was going on with the umpire, how it affected him, and he said, I hope Nick's okay.
Bless. There was a cracking win for my old mate Dan Evans from Solihull, who came through in four sets against Rajiv Ram. Real sort of kindred spirit for Nick Kyrgios, isn't it? It's good that they're playing doubles together, isn't it? Because two peas in a pod.
That was the press conference of the day by far. I mean, it's hard to even pick out highlights, but the line that stands out was he was being asked about whether his parents were here. He said, oh, my dad's here, my mum's not here, she's never watched me play. And then obviously the journalists picked up on that because they're like, you know what, your mum's never watched you play. He said adamantly, my mum has never ever watched me play tennis. And then he went, you should probably do the impression because you've got the Brummie accent, David. But he went, it's all right, I don't like her job either.
That's a good one.
It turns out she's a nurse. I mean, it's not like she's a...
It's quite an important job, really, to be fair,
exactly.
Dan. You know, we need those people. Yeah, anyway, don't really need you tennis players. You just, you know, faff about on a court hitting a tennis ball around all day. Anyway, we also had a cracking match between Laura Robson and Naomi Brody, which Brody won in three sets, coming from behind. You know, there was a real edge and tension to the match out there. Hot and humid and for me, that was a bit of a surprise result in the end. So well done, Naomi Brody.
A surprise result on paper. I watched those last couple of sets play out, and Laura Robson definitely could just completely lost confidence in her serve. It was sort of an ace or a double fault by the end. And you could see the sort of lack of confidence and lack of matches at that level coming. You could just... It was almost palpable on the tennis court, and I was very impressed with her. I was impressed with how gutsy she was. She really went for it. She said she came over to me to do the flash interview on the court, and she said, we've got to do this quick because I am going to cramp immediately. She said she just felt like she was keeping it at bay. She was taking sips of Gatorade between every single point, and I think Laura Robson was questioning whether that was okay, and Brody is adamant that so long as she's within the time limit, she can do whatever she wants within reason between points. And she said she was pouring four sachets of rehydration fluids into her drink at every change of ends. You know, that's that's how challenging the conditions were. And then when she came into press, she said, yeah, I've just been cramping for the last 2 hours in the press conference. But I guess that's what adrenaline can do for you, right? It kept the cramps at bay for just as long as she needed to.
Yeah, my adrenaline's just keeping me from cramping right now here as we record the tennis podcast for you. Under the lights, the floodlights are on, but the place is virtually deserted now. Just little old Andy Murray in a backstage locker room getting ready to do his press conference with about 40 British journalists and Catherine Whittaker, of course, who will speak to him for Eurosport for tomorrow's show and for the next day to preview his next round match. Who's he got next? I don't even know.
Marcel Granollers.
Granollers, oh yes, he's a good player, isn't he?
He's beaten him twice. Once at challenger level in 2005, which I think will let Murray off the hook for. And once in Rome in 2013.
Yeah, but that was a retirement.
He retired, yeah.
So it doesn't count.
We're basically writing both of those off.
Yeah, we're kind of writing those off. Tomorrow, we've got Rafa Nadal under the lights in the evening session. I can't even remember who he's playing. But anyway, he's in pretty good form. Previous round, he played really quite well, but he looks fresh at the moment, I would say, Nadal.
Yeah, he does look he didn't look fresh in Cincinnati, but he does look fresh. Nadal loves to have matches, though, doesn't he? He's sort of somebody that would rather have loads and loads of matches and wins under his belt than feel really fresh, so it's going to be interesting. But he looked good enough in the first round. Certainly the scoreline looked good for him, but it wasn't tournament winning form, but doesn't need to be in the first round. So
no, it doesn't need to be in the first round. He is going to play Andrea Seppi, who's no mug, is he? He's a good player, Andrea Seppi from Italy. If Nadal's on his game, he'll win. Before that, we've got Garbiñe Muguruza against Anastasia Sevastoza. We've got Novak Djokovic in the afternoon against Yuri Vesely. That'll be very interesting, won't it?
Beaten him this year in Monte Carlo. Watched it live. I'd be very surprised if he does it again, but you know,
I think we're going to see Novak Djokovic put down a bit of a marker and just remind everybody how good he is
if he's physically able to. Yeah, that will certainly be his intention, but you could be right. But I mean, those question marks again, David.
Question marks, it's intriguing. How about this one? This is going to be a war. Caroline Wozniacki against Svetlana Kuznetsova in the second round of the US Open. That is a bit harsh. And a couple of other little highlights. We've got the returning Kyle Edmund from a British perspective. He's first on court on Wednesday against Ernesto Escobedo, who's ranked outside the world's top 200.
The double E. That's what we're calling him.
All right. Catherine started nicknames now. Oh, brilliant. Johanna Konta's also against Svetlana Peronkova straight after that. And that, I would say, Catherine Whittaker, just about sums up day two, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does. Because Catherine's got to go and speak to Andy Murray now. Thanks, you lot, for listening to us here on the Tennis Podcast. Go and check out our Twitter page, at Tennis Podcast. Go and look at the Facebook page. Have a look sometimes on the Facebook page of Eurosport, because Catherine's been doing something called Facebook Live. I ended up doing a sort of impromptu appearance on it because Catherine decided she wanted to speak to somebody that didn't fit in the same picture as her because of height issues. But anyway, we're on that, so go and have a look. And we might even do our own Facebook Live or Periscope if I can figure out what it is and how to do it. But anyway, this is the Tennis Podcast. It's brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.